ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Excited.
Warning, in the next half hour, there's going to be a lot of talking.
And it won't be coming from us. Hello, Douglas Anderson. We can see you or hear you. I cannot wait to see your face. Just about hear you. Are you there, Douglas?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, we cannot see you.
That's one thing. We've got 50% of Mr. Anderson.
At the moment, this is old-fashioned radio. Now, what do I need to do to get the visual up here?
You need to hacktivate your camera. You need to hacktivate your camera. If you move, are you doing this on a computer or a telephone?
I'm doing this on a computer. I can start video. Is that one?
That's
start
what video. We need to do. Because yes, at the moment we are Doug-less.
Now we're Doug-full.
Yes.
Doug-full. Welcome. 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 Welcome.
Hey, lovely. Oh, look at that. Look at that. I popped in at about 9:10. And I popped out again at 9:15 to go down and play with Jenny the cat, who we talked about the last time.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure if you guys were on a split screen or not, but you are in the same.
In the same.
We are in the same thing. Catherine is my bubble. We're allowed to bubble up, so we are in the same place. You can't see Catherine if you move your head ever so slightly. That is a Frank Sidebottom Ouija board behind us. It can only contact paper mache ghosts. Yes, Dougie has made his tie out of offcuts from my shirt.
Look beautiful. At
this. This is amazing.
I feel quite left out. Yeah.
How many candles have you? I can see four candles. Four. But are there any candles that we can't see in that room? That's what everyone wants to know.
You know, all the candles that are in this room are lit. They're on show. See this candle there?
Yes, sir, yes. The one balancing on your finger.
Yeah, that is that is the light that burns since Brian Jones died, I guess, because right above that, these are the stones on Primrose Hill at about 5-6 o'clock in the morning in about late-ish 1966 when Gerard Mankiewicz pulled them out of a club, said, let's go somewhere, let's do a photo shoot. That's from the photo shoot. It signed and went on to be the cover of the Between the Buttons album, which came out in January 67. So, you know, you ask about candles, you get the story.
Wait, could you just, and we'll get onto the film in a minute, right, which Catherine hasn't seen. Can you just do the thing with the finger again? Is that where you got the idea for the titles of the film?
No, it's not. It's not.
But it's very, very similar, isn't it?
I think it looks like E.T.
Yeah. I can do this one as well. Watch. There we go. Candles there.
He's good at that.
How do you do that? Because I can't even looking at the camera, I can't even sweep my hair back the right way of the parting without getting confused. And yet you're balancing candles like nobody's business.
Boils down to that thing of where the genius happens and where your comfort zone is are two different places.
Yeah.
I've immediately jumped on. I've got out of the comfort zone by working the video, and then I'm started pointing at things, don't really know what I'm doing, but it's exciting. People seem to be into it. And so
happening. Very modern.
RPDM moment. This is living.
Are you finding now? How long have you had the cap? By the way, for those who don't know, this is Douglas Anderson, TV presenter, author, filmmaker. He's got a new film coming out, and we're going to show a little clip of it. I watched it today, and it's just really beautiful. And it's what it's about. Well, let's talk about it. It's about one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. Always, and I haven't done it for a while, but I went through a thing a few years ago, going through London and looking up. Looking up. That's where the action is.
Yeah.
And that's where the action is.
Rarely do it. You can walk down the street day after day and never do it.
Yeah. And he's made a lovely...
Oh, good. I'm
this
glad.
Guy has made a beautiful film about it.
I don't know if the clip that you've got will make sense without the context, but... just to give you a bit of context, I got the original idea when I was back in Edinburgh early last year, I think. And I was looking at this beautiful stone masonry on the top of this church. And then I was looking at everyone in buses walking along, just not taking it in at all. And I had this beautiful kind of mindful moment. And I just started thinking about how we don't really look up anymore. And I guess the film is quite a mindful film, I guess, but it's not a film about mindfulness. Let's make that very clear. Not that there's anything wrong with making a film about mindfulness, but there is a distinction. Mm-hmm. A distinction between mindful films and films about mindfulness. There's a distinction between cameras here or candles here, candles there. There's different things in different positions in different places. Anyway, so you might remember the last short film I did, maybe about three, four years ago now, and it was based on the James Mason film, The London Nobody Knows.
Yes.
And that played out the BFI and all that. I said last year, I was like, I need to do another film. Wasn't really too sure what to do a film about. And I thought, I've done comedy, done documentary, did the three-minute chat show, which completely opened up a brand new realm of the chat show format, which I was so excited about, and everyone involved in film were so excited about, and was met with literally no excitement from the industry that I was attempting.
People were scared. People were scared of it, Dougie. It was too new for them. They just couldn't comprehend.
So for this one, I thought, I just want to do something different, and I didn't know what it was. And the good lady, Mrs. Anderson, said, just wait. Don't think about getting an idea. Something will come to you at some point. And it did. Because sometimes when we stop thinking, we've all been there, we're all artistic. When you're trying to find an idea, think about something, you just don't bloody know what it is. And then you stop thinking for a while and it pops in. Mm-hmm. So that's what that was, in essence, the genesis. And I've got to say, it was a little bit problematic in the days of COVID, trying to get there filming at times, when... people are sort of pointing and saying, you're not 2 meters from this.
So when did you film this then? This isn't filmed... I thought this was pre-COVID.
It was pre and during. Started kind of the tail end of last year. And then again in late winter, early spring. And then the whole COVID thing happened and obviously everything shut down. Started doing editing and all that kind of stuff to it. And then managed to get out again when things kind of loosened up a bit. I must say, we are doing a sound mix next week, the whole 5.1 stereo mix. And the week after that is the final colouring and grade. So it's not quite finished, but it's...
Oh, it looked stunning. Can I tell you my favourite... I've seen it once, I want to watch it again. But the thing that really stuck with me the most in my initial watch, the train... clippity-clap bit. Because it took me a little while. I was going, well, that sounds very rhythmic for a train, but it seems to fit. It took me a while to work out it was the soundtrack. Yeah. And it wasn't actually the train. And then every time you just caught a little glimpse of the train, you just get a little hint of the clippity clap, clippity clap. I loved it. I loved it.
You've always really been my target audience, and it's a shame there's only one of you. And I mean, I'd love Catherine to see it. I mean, it's a shame. I thought I did text you to say, send it to Catherine so she can.
He did. Now, he sent it to me on the day of my daughter's birthday. And so, unfortunately, I've been on birthday business all day.
Two momentous things happening in the same day. And you might have a best on to your daughter. And I'd rather she didn't watch it just yet. I think mother should, be the judge before daughter. I'm a bit of a traditionalist in that sense.
I'm going to give it a watch tomorrow, Dougie.
I always give my stuff to Jane Birkin before I do to Charlotte Gainsbourg. You know.
You would.
Shall we play the little clip of it? Is there anything you would like to this does feel like I'm Letterman, you're Leno.
Oh, you could be Paul Schaefer. Just where's your keyboard? The Paul Schaefer thing.
Yeah.
Maybe, is this to a British audience? Just a bit odd. He's kind of there, diving and all that. You guys are more.
I remember watching. You remember when David Letterman, about 1992, did a week of shows over in the UK?
Yes.
And me and my friend Simon had been. We'd been on a Magical Mystery tour that day. And we to get into the Beatles theme, and we were watching one of those episodes, and it occurred to us, obviously, that Letterman was Satan,
okay,
and that Schaefer was Mephistopheles,
okay, one of the demons,
yeah, like his assistant, and like because Letterman's actually quite cold, I mean, he's brilliant, but he's actually quite cold and condescending, and Schaefer's just like,
yes, master, yes, master.
Yeah, it's an odd one, isn't it? I caught myself thinking last week, I wonder what happened to Michael Essany. Now, remember the Michael Essany show? It was basically, he was a teenager in America, and he started doing a talk show from his own house with his dad being the sidekick and all this kind of thing. And it was on, I think it was on a US network for a while. It'll probably be on YouTube here somewhere.
I've just written it down so we can look for it later. I don't remember the name.
On the same week, I started thinking about the Chris Isaak show.
Oh, with the mermaid in the fish tank.
What?
I never saw any of it at the time. And I popped on, because it was never shown here, unlike Larry Sanders, Seinfeld, whatever.
It was shown over here because I used to watch it with. It was on like 2 o'clock in the morning, I think, or something. It was very obscure.
Yeah. But it was a kind of Chris Isaak playing a version of himself, wasn't it? I think.
Yes, he was Chris Isaak, and there was a talking mermaid in a fish tank in a club. I think he might have solved crimes, but I'm not totally sure if he did.
All right. Okay. But last on talking about or extolling the greatness of David Lynch. I forgot that he, I think, directed the Wicked Dame video.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a by-the-by.
Going down the tangent, of course, the British equivalent of both of those shows that you mentioned, of course, is the Jack Doherty show, which we really struggled to. We tried to find some clips of it a few weeks ago, and there's not really a lot online, unfortunately.
That was a big show for Graham Norton, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He filled in for a week and then he became Graham Norton.
Yeah. And it was filmed down at the Whitehall Theatre, just a stone's throw from Downing Street, wasn't it?
Right, that's where it was. Because it was a theatre, and quite often it was, you know, there were 30 people in the audience.
Yeah, but it was very odd. And they had the band. Oh, gosh, how I miss these conversations that only fan base here I can never have. The house band, I think. I don't know if they had two different house bands, but the house band, the leader of the band, was the eldest son in the old OXO adverts with Linda Bellingham.
Oh, now this is why we need you. Because we watched quite a lot of that and didn't have That lovely bit of information.
No, I would have sought him out.
Delicious informazioni. That's incredible. Shall we watch the clip? Is there anything you want to say before I play this clip? Fingers crossed I play this clip. It could go all horribly wrong.
I don't think so. I mean, it would probably make a little bit more sense in the context of what comes before and after. But it's quite hard doing a trailer for a 10-minute film, I find. So
yes,
just a taster. I just ask people to relax and hopefully enjoy it. And, be kind. Look up.
Here is a clip, and it's Looking Up, isn't it, the title, or is it?
Yeah.
Here's a clip from Looking Up, the new film, as yet unreleased. This is a bootleg from Dougie. Because there's a delay, you Muppets. There's a delay. Of course there's going to be a delay from when you do it because we're doing that.
It's all right. We'll edit that bit out.
Could you? Right.
I can go back a bit. Do you want me to start on Chris Isaak again? And
we don't need to go back that far. Right. We're going to do it. Lovely, isn't it? It's really, really lovely.
Yeah.
It's really lovely. It's beautiful. And it's very, what you don't get, I think we've talked about The Detectorists before, Dougie, and one of the reasons I like it so much is it's so slow. And that could often be, some people could consider that an insult, and it's not. It's just really slow, and I love it. And just watching this for like 9.5 minutes, it's slow.
I could do with some of that. I'm going to watch that when we get back, I think.
It's beautiful. Well done. Oh, no, hang on, now we've muted you. Hang on a second.
You probably saw the mouth thing, thank you.
There we go. Well done. It's beautiful, Doug. It's really, really beautiful. Well done.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate that. Thank you, Kath. I had a bit of a rush job last week and a week before because the final date for submissions for the London Short Film Festival, which is affiliated with BAFTA, was today, actually. So I had to sort of quickly get everything in a place where it could be submitted along with the requisite info, which has been done. So that felt nice. Find out in September if it's been accepted. Of course, you can go to other film festivals as well. And we'll get it out there because, it's nice to be in the position it is now, I've got to say. And those who have seen it, because I kind of went to a few people that I kind of liked, that I wanted to see it, yourself included, and they all sort of came back saying the same thing. And one of the things I really liked, someone said it's like a meditative essay on the search for calm. And I thought, oh God, I'm just absolutely going to nick that line for some kind of tagline, which I did. So that's been nice. And I tell you what else was nice, on a slight filmic segue. Had blinking internet problems 3 weeks ago. Internet had gone down in half the street, so was suddenly left to watch DVDs. Now, It's quite a sad start to this story. About 18 months ago, I kind of got rid of most of my DVDs, kind of music and all that, because what with streaming and all the rest of it. And I kept a few little gems just because I couldn't throw them out.
Wow.
Only without Netflix, without Amazon Prime, it's like, what are we going to watch? Because I don't really tend to watch that much television. Tends to be more films or the television we do watch are on, you know, things on Netflix. And I watched Kez for the first time in a long time. And I'd kind of almost forgotten the beauty of that and indeed the sadness of it. But also, I'd forgotten Lynn Perry, Ivy Tilsley, playing that role in it.
God, she is. Do you know what? I've not seen that for about 30-odd years. And Ivy Tilsley is in it. How funny. I was thinking about her at the weekend.
Well, when I think about her, I think about her in Shooting Stars and that very odd appearance on the first series of Shooting Stars when she was on. I think she'd just left Coronation Street, or maybe she was still in Coronation Street at the time. It's kind of odd seeing that. And also what I started to do for the third time over was rewatch The Sopranos. And I was watching you guys tonight doing your plugs for some of the sponsors and all that. And there's a great... I can't remember if you're a Sopranos fan or not.
I watched the first season and then I just stopped for some reason and never picked it up. I enjoyed it, but I for some reason didn't dive back in.
Okay, I'll simply retort with an African funk band named Matumbi. The interesting thing is that at the moment there's a really good podcast. I don't tend to listen to that many podcasts because as the comedian Charlie Baker says, in London, you're never 3 feet away from a podcast. And there's a great one called Talking Sopranos, which two of the actors, the guy who plays Michael Imperioli, who plays Christopher in it, who was in Goodfellas, and the guy who plays Bobby Bacala in The Sopranos, Stephen Sharipa. And it's really, really good, especially if you're a fan of the film. They've obviously have to do these adverts throughout it. And they don't suddenly go to an advert. They have to do the advert. So, you know, we're now sponsored by this, that, and the next thing. And it's quite a tricky thing to do. And I guess you guys, you do it very well because what you just can't pretend you're going to do an advert, can you? You just have to go, right, we're now sponsored by these people.
Yeah.
We need them. So we're doing this at the moment.
Yeah.
Thank you very much because we need the money, blah, blah, blah. Which brings me on to a question for you guys. So I saw the Guardian article because last time we saw, we were on a different station.
Yes, talk radio, yeah.
March time, I think. And I saw the Guardian article come up. I was like, oh, blinking heck, this is it. And I think I had a picture of you both and sound bites and all that kind of thing. And I always think it's very cool what you're doing anyway. And I like the fact that Catherine's friends with Katie Puckrick.
Oh, yes.
I've been a great admirer of Katie Puckrick. I think she's really cool and great. And I really liked her yacht rock.
Oh, it's awesome, wasn't it?
And I think she's got, does she do a perfume, something to do with perfume?
Yeah.
She's also friends with Sparks as well. Really good friends with Sparks.
Almighty. And isn't it great? He still does the dance, isn't it?
Yeah.
He does,
everyone goes nuts.
God, I love it. That, along with perhaps watching Queen Live Aid, things that just, undisputable, they just make you feel better.
Yeah.
Life and life in general. I forget my point. I kind of segued off on Katie.
You read the Guardian article?
Yes, I read the Guardian article. And I thought, right, this is brilliant. I didn't really know how it worked, how you're going to do it, because you're kind of spearheading this revolution.
Yes.
And not just because cats indiscriminately appear.
It's the internet. We have to have cats involved somehow.
That's what it's for.
The question is it, obviously it's hard work, but it must be quite gratifying and I would hope exciting.
Yeah, because we're in charge, aren't we? We can do what we want, pretty much. Ian?
It varies for me day to day. Here's the thing, Dougie. How honest do you want us to get? Because we can get really honest if you want.
Get as honest as you can without anyone feeling uncomfortable.
Okay.
Maybe the question should be to Catherine. Catherine, mm-hmm. How honest should you both be?
I think we can be completely honest. That's the whole point, isn't it?
Here's the thing. It was a thrill. We are pioneers. For the first time in 20, 25 years of doing this, this cat was all over the place. The first time in 20 years, I'm actually involved in something that is pioneering. You know, mm-hmm. we're the first people that Twitch have approached and said, first a traditional broadcast saying, would you like to come over here? So that's great. Is it paying my bills? No, it's not, unfortunately. It's better than not working. And Kath, you know, is earning more money than she was at Talk. But it's not covering all my bills. And there is a real part of me that has lost the joy. That's lost the joy. I'm enjoying this. I'm working with my best friend, and no one makes me laugh like she does. Maybe my youngest at the moment, because he's on a really good streak at the moment. But no
I can't
one,
compete with that. I mean,
no one makes me laugh like Catherine. And I think the shows that we're doing are really, really good. And it's psychologically, it's fascinating how Twitch works compared to radio. But just, Dougie, there's a bit of there's a significant amount of the joy is gone.
I think you're still grieving. I mean, we did get our fingers quite badly burned, didn't we, by what happened before?
Yeah.
But also, you've got your eyes on something else. I don't know if you know this, Dougie, but he's retraining. So he's got other plans.
I've just signed up to a 2-year counselling diploma starting in September. So at the moment, the plan is in 3 years show business is gone and I become a full-time counsellor. I don't know where my head in 3 years' time might be in a completely different place or something. But that is, part of me has given up.
I think it's pragmatism.
Yeah.
Because the show business that you once knew, it doesn't exist anymore. Mm. Things do change. It's an easy argument to say a lot of the time they change for the worse, not for the better. But as we've discussed before, you know, it's not a meritocracy. There is the whole celebrity culture is still kind of stronger than any other type of culture at the moment. I always laugh at something that happened to me, and when I say laugh, get angry and weep. The numerous times you're told, yes, you'd be perfect at this. Yeah, of course we want you to do this. Don't have the Twitter followers, and of course, how do you get Twitter followers? You need the gig, and it's all a bit odd. It's all a bit odd, but I think with reaching as a counsellor, what you're doing is—I sound like a bloody counsellor now. You're not closing any doors; you're just opening up doors. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We have got a new sponsor. Now, this is Harsh, who is an accountant. And I just mentioned him the other day on the stream. I've got this guy, Harsh, is a new sponsor.
Yeah.
He's had 2 gigs already.
You know why? A lot of people needing to get their finances in order at the moment.
Now, this is what I have done. That's his details there. Okay? Harsh Singh, HF Singh & Co. Limited.
Reads the small print, so you don't have to.
Exactly. He's been an accountant for 20 years. He started doing it like he works for a big company, and then he started doing the story he told me was about 10 years ago. His dentist said, "Look, if you do my accounts, I'll do your teeth for free.
Oh, gosh, right.
And he went, sure. Sounds like it's old-fashioned. Maybe I should make these
so,
a little bit bigger.
So is what we're saying is that you don't have to pay him actual money. You can barter him in kind.
There we go. There's his details. I couldn't get his thing in a transparent ping. So there it is. Right. At HFSingCo on Twitter. And so he's got really good teeth is what I'm trying to say. He's got really, really good teeth. He does, basically, if you've got tax issues, now is the time to get in touch with him. Chartered accountant, chartered tax advisor, specialises in corporate tax, the VATs, the personal tax, the audits and the accounts. His specialities are income and corporate tax compliance, tax planning, HNWIs, VAT, groups of companies, audit, management reporting, and charity reviews. Send him an email, harsh@hfsingandco.uk. And that email doesn't sound right, but it is. Mm. harsh@hfsingandco.uk. New sponsor. We're proud to have him on board. He's a good man. He's terrible at tag, but he's still better than you, Catherine.
He is, because you remember we had a meeting and I didn't, and I took my kids out to McDonald's instead. We've been in all day. I had to get them out of their pyjamas.
I'm talking about tag, though, when he beat you at tag and you came in the running.
I hate tag. I hate running. I hate doing anything like that. And yet I still turned up.
Poseidon Safety Management are back for their second month. Thank you. Devon and Cornwall, they're the only authorised installer of Raider Vision, which is this really cool kind of, what do you call it? Alarm system.
It's a security
system,
yeah.
Doesn't need power, doesn't need the internet. You can set it up in a field if you wanted to. We all know about Zeus the dog, and we'll see some pictures of Zeus later on. All of the staff are SIA licensed. Now, that means nothing to me. So I said, Nick, what the hell does that mean? And he said, that is the industry official license, which means everyone passes a criminal record check and holds a qualification. All of the patrols are GPS tracked. They're getting excited because they know that they could beat Zeus in a fight. All of the patrols are GPS tracked and monitored by their 24-hour control room, who assist members of the public, customers and the patrols in the field, as well as answering calls from Twitch racists and a man who watches this show and calls up the company and says penis. We know who you are. Thank you, Poseidon Safety Management. We'll do a lot more about you guys later throughout the week. Gregorian Bingham! The Gregorian!
Now, we've had a number of people suggesting that they might get married just so they can have Gregorian Emerson sort out the divorce for them.
Yes.
Because they are that good. Yeah. They won't create any further drama than necessary. They make sure that the family, when it comes to it, is the most important thing, right? You're still going to be a family long after you're not a couple anymore. And they want to make sure that that is done as smoothly and as gently as possible. Really tough time. They're not going to make it any more dramatic.
So excellent stuff from Richard. And we thank you, thank you, thank you for your ongoing support. And I mean, guys, where would we be without Somers Waste Solutions?
I'll tell you where we would be. Knee deep in rubbish.
Exactly.
The
thank
Somers
you.
Boys
what
are
she says.
A family business based
James
in Bedfordshire.
And Mark.
But they can sort you out regardless of where you are in the country and regardless of what your waste needs are. So you might be a small shop, you need something, you know, sorting out on a pretty low scale. You might be a massive business.
And we think they can probably save you money and certainly make your company a whole lot greener. I was going to ask what your relationship is with show business now, because, of course, we met when we were working on Rise together. You've been there before me, and then I kind of was pushed in to, you know, to help steer it into the ground. But you've done huge TV shows. I remember you telling me about, I think it's in your book, isn't it, about you going to Chris Evans's house and handing him a present. But you've not been on telly, as far as I'm aware, for quite a while. And I wondered, Have you given up? Do you consider that the past, or are you just waiting for the call?
Things move on. Sometimes they come back to you. I saw the way that TV was going, and I thought, I don't know where my place is in this. Mm. I really don't. And especially now that budgets are the way they are. My niche kind of things don't really exist anymore because it is all about, you know, how can we do loads of these shows for this amount of money and all that. And I guess I got into TV via a short film. I'm still doing that. I got into working on movies, being, you know, the music consultant and stuff like American Animals, which which did really well. And I was working again, actually, at the tail end of last year on another film that Bart Layton didn't direct, but his company were working on. So that was, again, me just going through my record collection, saying this tune would be great for this Julian Casablancas solo album song would be great for that moment in that film. And so doing stuff like that and writing books, now the money you get from writing books is not huge, but you can only do what you can do. And it would be ridiculous for me to be sat here going, do you know what? I'm really envious of what Dermot O'Leary has got going for him at the moment, because he's got his thing, and you have to do what you can do in the situation that you're in. That might mean writing a book. It might mean directing or writing a short film that gets put into the BFI archive, which is what happened with me. And so you can only do what you can do, can't you? Mm-hmm. I'd love to do more TV, I really would. But I guess you have to wait on the opportunity arising and do what you can do in the meantime, or even not in the meantime, just think, that was then, this is now, here I am going down this avenue. But you don't close doors. I guess that's the thing, isn't it? You just... Because it is weird that some people crop up years later and you go, what the hell are they doing there? You know, and they have this kind of, this second sort of burst of professional life. I was in the car on Saturday. I wasn't driving. Mrs. A was driving. And we've got this old radio in the car, and I just put this on smooth radio and Jenny Faulkner popped up.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
I didn't know Falky was doing anything at the moment, but there she was.
Yeah.
Very excited about some mainstream chart hit from 1995.
Someone sent me, I've not watched it yet because that period scares me, but someone sent me a clip of us. I think it was when two members of Belle and Sebastian were on Rise, and I think it was you and me that interviewed them.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? I've not watched it. I loved that year, even though I was very ill that year. I'm still really proud of that programme. I think we had some amazing... I think it was really, really funny. When it was at its best, it was jazz.
Yeah, we did... it's a shame in a way. It's kind of sad. I never try and look back at stuff because it's always like you must look forward and go... Yeah. And I get tiring when people live in the past all the time. But we did do some really, really funny and quite irreverent stuff, which now I don't think would happen. And I don't want to sound like one of these people, you know, like you see these documentaries on Friday night on BBC4. Yeah, well, you know, it was 65, you know. I mean, Ren, we were writing it. We didn't know we were writing it at the time. Oh, piss off. You know.
No one had said fuck on television before.
But I think it's funny you mentioned Bill and Sebastian because it was 10 years to the day last week that we did our... We started filming our half-hour film to coincide with, I say me, Belle and Sebastian, when we did our Write About Love film, how quickly 10 years goes. But you can only do what you can do in any situation. I'm really glad I wrote the book Left of the Mainstream. I really am, because I had to write it when I did. And I don't think there's a television book, a book that's partly about television, there's nothing like it, because... The first thing I thought when I started writing that book was, I don't want my face to be on the cover. I want the cover to be something that you could put in a frame on a wall and people would come in and go, that looks really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so that's a modernist cover. But these things, that kind of, those little things, like a cover's important. You know, those things are still really important to me. Like the logo for Looking Up, how that line, I got that idea from an old 50s modernist thing. And I thought, how could I play on that and make it a bit more now, a bit more, you know, 2020? Those things are really important. An album cover should still be a really cool design. Do you know what? I bet Katie Puckrick would agree with this.
She definitely would.
I don't know.
I'm very jealous of Catherine's friendship with Katie. But I also kind of live it vicariously through you. I think it's the coolest.
She's every bit as cool as you would think, but also kind of nuts in a delightful way. Yeah, you know, you think that I grew up looking at her thinking, oh, I wish one day I could be as cool as Katie Puckrick, but no one is, right? But at the same time, she's very, you know, she's a very human person. You know, stuff happens to her. She falls over. She, you know, forgets to do her dress up and stuff. That stuff happens.
Next question is, who are who are your showbiz friends at the moment? Who's who? Is there anyone sort of in your inner reaches? Who's?
I can tell you that Jesus.
Hey,
the cats
are kicking off tonight. I got four cats now, Dougie, so it gets a little bit hectic here at night. I can tell, was it last night or Saturday night?
Last night, wasn't it?
Last night I had a 2-hour Zoom chat with Matt Lucas, who got in touch and said, do you want to have a chat? And I was like, yeah, sure. And we had a lovely chat about everything. And he said some very, very nice things about me that I struggled to hear. So Matt Lucas.
That's good.
That's strong. That's strong.
Longer response than I was fishing for, but thank you. Catherine?
We're not quite friends yet, but we're in each other's orbit, and I think we're going to end up working together. Rose McGowan, the American actress and campaigner.
Yeah.
She's incredible. And we've been exchanging WhatsApp messages for secret reasons. But yeah, she's incredible.
So those are our names in celebrity poker, Dougie. Show us your hand.
Well, you know, I'm one of these idiots who placed art over celebrity and thought, I shan't try and cultivate friendships with famous people just for the sake of it. I'll go and write the books, make the films and make the mixes and podcasts. And has it got me? Son's famous friends. Although I still look back fondly to about 3 years ago when I had a 48-hour bromance with Shia LaBeouf.
Oh. At the Cannes 48 hours.
Oh, fantastic.
The Cannes Film Festival. And I was there because my wife worked on American Honey, the Andrea Arnold film. He was additional editor on it, and he's the protagonist in the film. And the night before...
Is this Honey Boy? Or
no, American Honey.
Okay, because I watched his film Honey Boy the other day, that's based on
his childhood
and his it's incredible. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
I put it on my watch list yesterday, actually, so I'm going to watch it. So American Honey is the Andrea Arnold film. And it has a cast of a lot of, teenagers from middle America who were all sort of flown over for the premiere of the film. And everyone went out to have drinks in this pub in Cannes. And he was there with his cap down and trying to be incognito. And I was just there having a good time. And I thought, I find him a really interesting actor because he's like an actor that doesn't really exist anymore. He's a bit dangerous.
Mm.
And he does dangerous things and he says things. He's a bit like a sort of Dennis Hopper type. As in Dennis Hopper in the 60s. You know,
my phone is going off. I'm just going to switch.
I thought it was Dougie.
No, it was me. I'm really sorry. It's really sorry. Sorry, I do apologise.
No, absolutely. Just don't let it happen again.
Okay. In that case, I will tell you, those tweets, those messages, those WhatsApps were from magician Pete Heat saying he's really enjoying hearing you talk.
Oh, that's lovely. That's like, thank you. I'm going to look into this camera here. Thank you, Pete. And so anyway, I just started chatting away with Shia LaBeouf because I was just there supporting my wife and supporting the film and having a good time. And we had a lovely chat. And then he got a bit serious for a second. And he says, Douglas, man, you got a great energy, man. And that was it. That was us in this special bubble.
Wow.
I wasn't trying to impress him. And we ended up having these lovely chats about film. Because at the time, he was filming Borg McEnroe, which I don't know if you've seen, you know, when he plays John McEnroe.
I've not even heard of this, no.
Yeah, Borg McEnroe. It's worth watching. And then we had the next night, it was the premiere, we sort of hung about and just had nice chats about film and music and things like that, and it was cool. Then he flew back to Sweden, where he was filming Borg McEnroe, and I flew back to London, England, where I was living at the time, and still living now.
Okay.
And just have fond memories of Shia. And, you know, he's gone through a hard time. But, yeah, we had 48 hours that I wouldn't change for the world.
Beautiful.
Oh, I love hearing you talk so much, Dougie. It's so nice to see you. What are you drinking in there? Cup of tea?
Watty.
Okay. is everything all right? You sound as upbeat as you can be during a global pandemic. Is everything all right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's been difficult, as it has for everyone. It's been difficult due to family illness as well, things, because, you know, all those kind of things don't stop, do they? It's some a pandemic, but these other worrying things are still going on. I just got on. I was making this series of mixes for Mixcloud, Seven Floors Up. So I just did more of them, got the film into shape for the film festivals, read like I'm a big reader anyway, but just read and read and read and tried to cultivate the mind. Can I tell you what I'm reading at the moment? Just because I'm
Please.
I had to get the book from America. It's impossible to get in the UK. Now, everybody's talking. We all know Nielsen had a huge worldwide hit with it, don't we? You know,
yeah.
Of course, used in the film. But what loads of people, I guess, don't know, and I'm not including you guys in this, is that, you know, Nielsen didn't write it. The great Fred Neil did, one of the greatest ever singer-songwriters, and a very elusive guy and a person who kind of shunned show business in a way, but made this great art. Maybe that's why I've got so much empathy with him. So I think a book came out this year about the great Fred Neil.
Oh, wow. Yes, yes.
The life, music, and mystery of Fred Neil. And I couldn't get it for love nor money in the UK. Eventually I had to get it shipped in from America. He wrote Dolphins, of course, maybe his second most famous song, The Dolphins. And here's the thing that I'll say to anyone that's listening tonight. If you're just in the mood to listen to a work of musical genius and you haven't heard Fred Neil's The Dolphins, or you have but you haven't heard it for some time, make that your listening when you go to bed tonight or when you walk into work tomorrow, because it's special and he's special and I'm just having the best time reading this book.
Thanks to my Spotify playlist, which I every Monday, Spotify make a playlist for me. Some weeks, not very good. Mm. This week, oh my God.
It's thrown you a few beauties as well, isn't it?
Awesome. Are you aware of Nick Gary?
The Nightmare of J.B. Stanislas?
Yes!
Of course I am. It's the greatest...
I forgot who I'm talking to.
Can I pop in with another...
Go for it.
Right. So a good friend of mine, Douglas T. Stewart from the BMX Bandits, Scottish indie royalty, has produced some of Nick Gary's songs over the past 2 years. And I went to see Nick Gary play a tiny show at the Heavenly Social in, you know, just off Great Portland Street
in
London.
Yes.
Him and a guitar playing stuff, some of his newer stuff, which is amazing. And stuff from The Nightmare of J.B. Stanislas. And at one stage, I'm absolutely not the kind of person that shouts out at comedy clubs, at gigs, or anything like that. I'm just there for the, you know, just sitting in the background. And he said, any requests?
Oh, hello.
And I just shouted, I'd love to hear The Wanderer. You know, The Wanderer of the aforementioned album? Let me be the wanderer, I know I have to be. Oh, God, it's beautiful. The whole album is amazing.
Wheel of Fortune is the one for me.
Little Bird.
Aye.
It's a strange album in the sense that for about a three-month period in 1969, baroque pop was going to be the next thing, you know, because folk rock had happened, country rock, and now baroque pop, this is a thing. It's going to be strings, lush strings.
Harpsichords.
Yeah, and it just sort of didn't happen. And then kind of hard rock came in, didn't it? So Led Zeppelin's first album and then Black Sabbath and all this kind of stuff. It just didn't happen. So yeah, Nick Gary is, oh God, he's...
But I hadn't heard of him until he popped up in a Spotify playlist and it was like, this is incredible. But to bring it back to Everybody's Talking, I heard Harry Dean Stanton do a version of Everybody's Talking. And at the beginning he said, this is a heroin song. I thought, is it? What? I've never heard that. And then it makes everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying, only the whatever.
Echoes in my mind.
Is it a heroin song?
Fred Neil had, shall we say, issues.
Okay.
So I haven't got to the part in the book where it goes into what it is about, because I've just got past the book, or his first album proper on his own, was Bleecker and MacDougall. Now, you've probably been to some of the record shops on Bleecker Street in New York.
There was used to be a great shop, Bleecker Street Records, that sold bootlegs, and then it closed down a couple of years ago.
Yeah, a great place. So Bleecker Street and MacDougall Street, beside each other. One of, oh gosh, here's something to go. One of the greatest album covers ever is Fred Neil's album, Bleaker and McDougall. Photo in, was taken in 1965, 66, of him in the middle of the street, late night, New York, is the village when it was still dangerous.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, very cool.
Look at that.
You know how you, a lot of people buy, well, they frame their albums now?
Yes.
Because, you know, the best album covers are, of course, works of art. Bleaker McDougall by Fred Neil is absolutely one of those that should be framed. It's beautiful, isn't it? And I like the fact it's late at night, it's dangerous, but what's in the distance there? The Empire State Building.
Yeah, yeah. I want a hot dog with some mustard on it.
Yeah. And it's old, and he's just got his, you know, it's a bit, it kind of harks back to that Coen Brothers film, doesn't it? The, you know, it's that feel to it.
I've thoroughly recommend to mention this last week, Honey Boy, the Shia LaBeouf film. It's it just popped up on Amazon Prime, which doesn't normally have a great selection.
It's so strange. You're the second person who's mentioned that to me in the last couple of days.
It's beautiful. It's you know, I kind of identify with it. It's about dads. I mean, not a similar situation.
But doesn't he play the dad in it? But actually, it's kind of based on his childhood.
And it's based on his recovery, you know, and what he wrote about his dad. And it's and it gets a, gets nice, a little bit psychedelic and meta towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, really beautiful.
You're talking about beautiful films and films that have a heart to them. And you mentioned Harry Dean Stanton. Have we spoken before, there's every chance we had, about Harry Dean Stanton's final ever film before he passed away?
No, I've not seen it. Oh. Is it good?
The need for you to see it is so strong that I'm going to do a quick 360.
Wow. I've not seen him do that in a long time.
You better take this seriously.
I've not seen him do that in a long, long time, guys. Everybody, focus.
Oh, I implore you to watch it. It is beautiful, and it's life-affirming.
Yeah.
And we, and at times it's a bit slow in a great way. I really, you would love it. You would both love it. I really, please just go and watch it when you get the chance soon. You won't regret it.
All right, we're finished now. We'll go and do it. Dougie, we should let you go. It's always such a joy to talk to you. I miss you so much. And, I you're one of my favourite people that I ever worked with on telly. And we had so much fun. When we hit that groove, it was effortless.
Yeah.
Effortless. You could just let go and fall, and it was wonderful. I remember just rapping into making up a song into the break, and it was, you know, just joyous. It was wonderful. So thank you for those times.
Thank you, and thank you both. I feel I've slightly spoken more to you than I have to Kath, and I don't want to appear rude. It reminds me, just if you'll allow one very, very quick anecdote. I once interviewed Michael Caine along with Dylan Moran for a film they were in called, I think, The Actors was the film. And it was really disconcerting because you've got Michael Caine and Dylan Moran, and you want to sort of speak to them both, but I'm not equating Caine and Moran to you both. Let me say that. But Michael Caine had more of an effect on my life at that point because of, you know, Zulu, the Ipcress File, Italian Job, and Get Carter, The Man Who Would Be King, et al. I was a bit of a fan of Black Books at the time, but, you know, more and more Dylan did. So it was very odd. It was a very odd interview to do. Again, not that important. In prison, but just thought I'd pepper.
Sorry, Dougie.
The cat's just jumped on my lap and let one go.
Oh, that was
very rude.
On that bombshell, we have to end on that. We have to. Dougie, what are you on Twitter these days?
At Douglas Chats.
At Douglas Chats.
And boy does he, and we're glad of it.
If your other films, are they up? Are they around? Can people see them? Yes.
They are on MrDouglasAnderson.com, the link of which is on my Twitter profile.
Okay.
You've got another stuff as well that I've just seen, like the Bell and Sebastian film and a lot of other nice things and music mixes and links to books and all that. It's all there. It's all there.
A rarity. We got an actual genuine ock there. There we go. Sure. You don't hear it very often these days, and I love it. So nice to talk to you. Love to the family, love to the cat.
Thanks, Dougie.
Lovely to speak to you both. I miss you. I will come on again when invited to chat more. And love to Katie Puckrick.
I'll pass that on.
There we go. That now we get to them. Now we get to them. See you later, Dougie. Take care.
Bye, Dougie.
Bye-bye. What a nice guy.
He's so nice.
Listening to a Rabbit Hole production.
Boing! Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.